Come on now, gather around, glad you could join us. Spreading some love, just start your morning. No shame in my game, I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
Hey, hey, hey. Happy, happy Monday. Welcome back to Life Unapologetic with Athena. I'm so happy yet again to be bringing you another episode that I am extremely excited about. I want to thank all of you, my listeners, who look out for the podcast each week. It definitely warms my heart. I'm hearing more and more new people who are tuning in to hear what God has to say through me. And I'm just so grateful to have you listening. I don't take it for granted. And I'm definitely honored that you choose me to listen to and that you trust what I bring is from the Father. I want to thank all of my new listeners, those who have just tuned in and gotten to know Athena. I'm so excited, y'all. I really am. Hey, I encourage you to like the show if you like the episode, to give me a 5-star, and even, hey, give me a review. And if you could subscribe, it just helps my podcast to stay relevant. And while that is not important to me, honestly, it really isn't. I don't even know why I say that. It's not important, but we definitely want to be successful in the things that we set out to do for the Father. It's just a human desire. So if you don't mind, subscribe and give me a thumbs up by giving me 5 stars. I love you all. I thank you for following me. I am excited about today's episode. Before I jump in, I just want to shout out the Spiritual Growth Academy. We are building this thing out, y'all. I am so excited about the many communities that are developed within the Spiritual Growth Academy. We have the community of the Spiritual Growth Academy itself, which teaches all foundational curricula on the Word of God. We are currently going through Foundations of Faith and really learning about the true foundation of faith, the true doctrine of Jesus Christ, repentance from dead works, and so on. We are then going to go into knowing and hearing the voice of God and really know how to hear God's voice. I know that has been episodes that we have been going on to give you a little taste, but not give you all of the goods until you come through the academy. Then we're going to go into the ministry of Holy Spirit and just learn about this man who gives us power, who is our teacher, our guide, our advocate, our standby, our comforter. Love this man. I love him. I love him. I love him because he loves me. He empowers us to do what we do. And then we have what's called the Seer Community within the Spiritual Growth Academy. And this is where you teach you all things, dreams, visions, and interpretation of those dreams and visions. Yes, you all can dream. And yes, you all can have access to visions from the Father. It is a way that he communicates to his children. We are rolling out in August when we go live to the public, the School of the Prophets, where we're going to learn all things, words of wisdom, knowledge, and prophetic. I'm super excited about the communities that are coming out. Our fourth community is called the Spiritual Growth Academy Reach Worldwide Community. This is a community that is developed for our younger generation. Yeah, your young ones need to learn about the things of God and the giftings that they have in God, their talents, their abilities. We want to encourage the younger generation today to really step out on the things of God, because God has definitely called them for a time such as this. So I am excited about the Spiritual Growth Academy. I'm excited about opening up to the community in August. And so I have the link to sign up on the wait list in the show notes. Check that out. It is always posted. I'm super excited about the Unapologetically Unashamed community. We're currently going through a 40-day spiritual journey of finding purpose, and I have just heard great things about the material and great things about the journey. That has also been in show notes in the past. I'll definitely try to make sure all of these links are posted. The Unapologetically Unashamed community is free, so definitely check it out. And I'm super excited. Coming soon will be Life Unapologetic Coaching with me, one-on-one coaching for those who are in the academy, for those who want to go through the academy, or for those who just want one-on-one spiritual mentoring and really just walking through the deeper things of God together and just bouncing things off, having a wise counsel, seeking purpose, hearing from God. We will walk through each session together, hearing from the Father and bearing fruit. I promise. Listen, Holy Spirit has always showed up in my one-on-ones. A lot of my clients who are now in the Spiritual Growth Academy, I am just seeing so much fruit from them and hearing just rave reviews about the effectiveness of where two or three are gathered, their Holy Spirit will be. And he definitely shows up. So I'm excited about all of the things that are happening in the life of Athena. I'm excited about the episode today. This episode is titled, What is Your Life's Compass? What is your barometer? What is leading you through life? So I wanted to look up the definition of compass. A compass is an instrument that you use for finding directions. We see this through our navigation systems. We use our Waze. We use our Google. It has a dial and a magnet needle that always points to the north. We rely on compasses for direction. That's the definition. So I broke that down into the spiritual context because, you know, I'm really big on, okay, if there's a carnal aspect, there's a spiritual aspect, because they're not one in the same, but they parallel one another. And so I broke it down spiritually. Our spiritual instrument that we can use to find directions in life is the Word of God, the Bible. The magnetic needle within us is our spirit that always points up to him, God. And so the compass is a tool that has a dial that always points north. But if you turn or you go in different directions, it will turn into that direction that you are going. And so just like the compass has a needle, and just like the compass is an instrument, the Word of God is our instrument. It is our practical guide through life. It is our navigation system. It has every answer to every life circumstance and situation we can ever encounter, we can ever endure, is in the Word of God. Our spirit is the needle. Our spirit is what is drawn to the Spirit of God. Our spirit is what identifies with the Spirit of God. And so it is the needle that is always pointing north. It is the needle that is always pointing towards heaven. It is the needle that is always drawing us to the heart of God. The Word of God says in Romans 8:16, found the Spirit himself thus testifies together with our spirit, assures us that we are children of God. I love that. The Spirit of God, God himself, testifies, speaks to our spirit, and gives us an assurance, just confirms that we are his children. This episode is good. It's very long, and it's going to be a two-part series. Because after we go through some of these key points, there's some follow-up that we need to do, and I'm excited about it. I'm so excited about it. So what is your life's compass? We're all guided and controlled in a direction by something, right? All of us. We're all controlled and guided by something. And unfortunately, a lot of times what we're guided and controlled by is not the Word of God. It's not the Word of God. It's not his standard. It's not his principles. And it definitely isn't his purpose for our lives. We see that even now with the pandemic. We see that with the state of the world, that even the decisions that are made to rectify the situation or to bring in solutions to the situation, it is utter chaos, right? It's utter chaos. We see our positions in the midst of this pandemic of lack of preparation, right? Of the struggle. Unemployment is at an all-time high because we haven't saved enough to sustain life for 6 months to a year. That is the average direction of any financial guru. So we see that we're not following by the principles of God that are found in Proverbs that give us wisdom for business and for life. And so we are using the wrong compass. And unfortunately, the compasses that we use are the things that are directing our lives or guiding us, or the things that we use as a barometer have not yielded us any positive results, right? And so I want to look at some key things that I've experienced in my own life, as well as the things that I've seen in others, examples and ways of life that I've seen in others. And so I made copious notes, y'all, because this episode was really good. When God said, "What is your life compass?" and He began to give me certain components, I really wanted to break them down and have factual information and scripture to them. So bear with me as I go through, because I am really excited. And so what I've noticed in my life a lot of times, and things that I have done the work to really work through and I see in others, is some of our life's compass is driven by guilt. Yeah, driven by guilt. So I wanted to look up the definition of guilt. Guilt is the fact of having committed a specified or implied offense or crime. How many of us have committed something against ourselves or someone else? Or someone has done something against us in the form of trauma, and we carry the guilt. Guilt is a beast, y'all. It is a monster that for some reason we as a people continue to feed. We continue to feed our guilt of our past. We continue to feed our guilt of the things that we keep messing up on, when we want to be sinless and we want to be holy and we want to be acceptable to God. We continue to feed our guilt. We do. We just, I don't know why, but we do. And then it causes us to hide in shame, right? It causes us to be runners. How many of y'all are runners? I'm raising my hand. How many of y'all have been runners? When it gets uncomfortable, when it gets a little cray cray, we run, right? When the relationship gets too hot to handle, or it points out our guilt, or it points out our inadequacies that are seemingly there, or when it brings up our insecurities, we run. And we hide in shame, right? Figuratively and literally. I mean, we literally and figuratively hide in shame. That looks different for everybody. And so oftentimes when it comes to guilt, we're trapped by trauma, y'all. We are trapped by trauma. And what is sad about that is when you're traumatized, and I have been through points and stages of trauma in my life as a child and growing up, is that we become stuck in the point of trauma. I took a class on human sex trafficking and understanding the minds of the victims. And one thing that was so interesting, because my daughter is a victim of human sex trafficking, and I'll get into that. But one thing that was interesting is that they said our brain is like a file cabinet. And when something bad happens, something really traumatic, that kind of overloads the brain. We know when a computer is overloaded, it'll shut down, right? And it will hopefully reboot itself, or it's just fried. And so our brain, to protect that frying, that comatose state, it will lock away those trauma parts, those trauma memories, and it will file it away in an invisible file that seemingly cannot be pulled up again. And unfortunately, what I learned is what happens in this process when that file is filed away, that we get stuck in that point of trauma. So imagine me at 5 years old, right? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love and your kindness. Thank you for deliverance, because at five, I was traumatized. And if it was not God's will and not His grace and mercy, I would be stuck at that point of trauma. There's no way that I would be operating and running a ministry called the Spiritual Growth Academy. There would be no way that I would be the founder and CEO of a nonprofit called New Beginnings Empowerment Center Incorporated. There would be no way that I would be starting a business called Life Unapologetic Coaching with Athena. There would be no way that I would be partnering with people in building the kingdom of God if I had stayed locked and trapped away in that point of trauma, guilt, and shame, yet still running away from the things that people had done against me, or things that I've even done against others. Come on, y'all. It paralyzes us from maturing in areas of our life. We see this so much in adults, right? You got men who live with their mothers until they're 40 and 50 and never move out. You got women who who have kids and seemingly have their own thing going on, but they disrespect their children. They don't live an exampled life. They don't try to put on a good example. And this is not to rag on people, but it's just to point out the points of trauma that we are experiencing that are causing us to be stuck and causing us to believe that how we're living is just how it has to be. We're being manipulated and deceived to think that guilt, the shame of, and the embarrassment of has to be the end all tell all. That's not what God's heart is for his people. We're not subject to being victimized. We're not subject to a victimized mentality that we're the victim and we stay the victim and we live the victim and we will always be the victim because of the memory, because of the triggers, right? We begin to self-sabotage our lives by our poor actions, y'all. I remember meeting my husband and I remember our very first date. Mind you, I've always experienced hardship up until this point. And I remember him taking me on a drive down the coast of Malibu. And it was just the most beautiful day. The weather was great. The sun was shining. And I'm in the car with this man that I'm just very attracted to, but just getting to know. And I just remember feeling for the first time true happiness. I remember feeling for the first time, wow, is this love? Like, what was this emotion? What was this feeling that I was experiencing? I've never experienced this before. I've never experienced just a moment of peace and love and just serenity. And I remember instantly looking for something to counteract the positive emotions that I was feeling. So I began to search for something to get me back into an uncomfortable, depressed state. And I remember prodding and poking at him about the gas tank because it seemed like we would run out of gas. And I began to try to take control of the situation by pointing out the fact that we needed gas and that this is a 2-lane road. And what if we run out of gas and we're stuck and someone hits us from behind? And it was all of these negative things to put me back in a victimized state or mentality. I had to control the situation and I had to go back to my comfort zone of depression depression and anxiety and fear and insecurities. Man, the enemy had me. Listen, the cold, hard and period truth about guilt is that it is not our end all be all. Okay. It disconnects us from God, but it doesn't have to. God says in Romans 8:38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, now or any powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. This was Paul, my correction. This was Paul speaking this, that none of these things could separate us from the love of God. So when we are in a state of guilt and we are living in a repetitive motion of guilt and shame of running from our past and we're feeling separated from God, we need to understand that it is not God that is separating himself from us, but it is us that is separating ourselves from God. Because God says he will never, ever leave us nor forsake us, but he will always be there for us. So we just really have to, know the word of God for ourselves. I can't stress that if I didn't study my Bible and if I didn't read it to know it for myself, to know what it says for myself, not to wait on a sermon, not to wait on Sunday, that I would be so manipulated and so deceived just through regular life circumstances and situations. I would believe that whatever negative situation I encounter would be normal. It would be anticipated. It would be the way that it should be. And I would never try to inject the word of God, truth or peace or joy or happiness into an environment or a circumstance that I may have to walk through in a season because I didn't know the word for myself. So I would live in that space of guilt. So looking at the word of God in Romans 8:38, it lets me know that God does not want to separate from us. It gives me an understanding of the word of God and it helps me to know that the word of God is a compass for me. It's my barometer that will not allow me to be blown to and fro. The Word of God says in Ephesians 4:14 that we are no longer children being tossed back and forth and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. That if we use the Word of God as our compass, as our barometer, and we know the Word of God for every situation that we come in, that we seek out God's Word for what we are experiencing, what we need, what we're going through, that when people come with their lies, when men come with their manipulation, women, come on. When we're seeking attention, when we're seeking our worth in attraction of men thinking that or finding us attractive or men wanting to date us, and we put down standards and we don't have boundaries and we move away from the barometer of the Father when it comes to relationship, we will be tossed back and forth by their false teachings, by their false words. Better yet, we will be tossed back and forth by what people said we were, by what people, as we were growing up, called us, told us what we wouldn't be, told us what we couldn't do. We would continue to be tossed to and from by those false identities. It goes on to say, it goes on to say in Ephesians 4:14, by the trickery of men. Come on, these men are manipulating women today, and women manipulating men in craftiness. It's just it's being deceitful and sneaky, right? Well, this is why we have adultery. This is why we have fornication. And then it says, after the wiles of errors. I call this self-inflicted wounds. We're tossed and we're tossed to and from. We're pushed back and forth, in and out by our own bad choices. We don't have to make those choices, but we do, because it's just like, oh, well, I remember in my finances when I met my husband that I would just not pay this and I would not do that because he'd cover it. He'd take care of it, being tossed to and from. It goes on to say, but speaking truth, the Word of God, God's Word is truth. It says that if we speak truth, if we speak the Word of God in our situation and in our lives in love, which cast out all fear, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ Jesus. If we seek love and if we seek the Word of God, that we will mature, that we will be able to grow up past our guilt, past our shame, past our insecurities. We can see, we see as we read the Word of God and as I was studying, we see guilt show up as what I believe as a generational curse in the mother of Cain, Adam and Eve, right? The very first family. We had Adam, then we had Eve. There was the fall from the fruit. I believe that they experienced guilt and shame because we saw in the Word of God when Jesus came in the cool of the day that Adam and Eve hid, right? And they hid their private parts with fig leaves, which were itchy and uncomfortable, right? I believe that that itchiness and that uncomfortableness represented shame and guilt, right? And insecurity, because they knew now that they were naked. Right. And so we see that because of their sin, because of their poor decision, because of their actions, that it fell upon their children. Right. We see Cain killed his brother Abel. And then we see it go on to say in Genesis 4:12, you will till the ground. It will no longer yield its produce to you. You will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain at that point cried out to God. He said, Lord, the punishment is too great that men will see me and kill me. He felt guilty. Yeah, he felt guilty for killing his brother and his brother crying, his blood crying up to the Father. But the damage was already done because not because of him, but because of the example that was laid before him by his parents. And if we really look at the Word of God, when it looks at the story of Cain and Abel, God tried to give Cain an opportunity to give a better offering, to bring his first fruit, to think about the purpose and the things of God before himself. And that's a whole nother story in itself. So I have to ask you, what are you being held captive by? What are you being held captive by? What is holding you? What guilt in your past is holding you from moving forward? What guilt in your past is causing you to be insecure? What guilt in your past is causing you to be ashamed of who you are, of what you look like, of how you operate, of your gifting? Another one I want to look at, I got to be quick. This is so good, y'all, but I have so much to give. Another thing I want to look at is resentment and anger. Okay, resentment and anger. So I looked up the definition of resentment. It's bitter indignation of having been treated unfairly. Resentment is just being angry because of the unfair treatment of someone against us. Trauma, right? Abuse, neglect, rejection. Anger is strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. Now listen, those of us operating in resentment and anger are those who hold close the hurt that we never let go. We hold on to it like a doll. We hold on to it like a comfort blanket. We don't want to move from anger and resentment, which is creating bitterness in our heart, to forgiveness. How many of us are experiencing that today? We feel like we have time to forgive. We feel like it's our option to forgive, that we make up the time frame when we will forgive. We feel like hanging on to our resentment and our anger gives us power. Like we're taking power back from those who have inflicted pain on us. We feel like if we just hang on to it, that we keep them bound. But what we don't realize is, and I've experienced this, y'all. I've experienced this from my father, from abuse of my father. I've experienced this from seeing domestic violence of my mother and seeing her abuse. I remember hanging on to my offense of watching what I couldn't stop. I remember wanting to hold the power and hang it over his head and wanting to dictate how I would let forgiveness go, how I would let the things that he did against me and my family go, how I would let the things that he did against me and my brother who has now passed on go, how I would let the things that he did against my sister who has passed on go. Yeah, trauma. I know trauma well. I remember hanging on to resentment and bitterness and anger because of the things that I had to experience and because of the things that were put on me, the generational curses that I now had to work through, that I now had to break, that I see in my child. I remember being angry. I remember constant conversations and fights, wanting him to do this or do that to gain my forgiveness because I had now had the power, when in reality, guess what? I wasn't living a quality life. The resentment and the anger was eating up at me, and it was manifesting in my attitude and my behavior. Horrible. It's almost as if we have a movie like replaying in our heads, like over and over. And this movie, right? These memories are triggered by a person, a place, or a thing. It's triggers. It's something that we see. It could be a smell. It could be a color. We could drive by a location and it triggers the memories, which perpetuates the resentment and the anger. It's like it almost blows air on a fire and makes it bigger. There was a movie called Backdraft, and it was the air that would cause the fire to backdraft and then come back 10 times hard. God's word says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry, but sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. He gives you direction that it's okay to be angry. Yeah, you're going to experience this emotion. It's natural because you experience trauma, but you have a responsibility to let it go. Not for the other person. Not because it lets them off the hook. Not because they're not guilty. But that God says vengeance is his, that he will take care of it. But for us to forgive so that it unlocks his hands to bless our lives and it takes away the accusations of the enemy to continue to bring hardship in our lives, y'all, we got to let it go. Hebrews 12 and 15 says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. Don't come short. The grace of God is freely given. That the root of bitterness shining up or shrining up cause trouble. And by it, many are defiled. Defiled means to be spoiled or polluted or corrupted. Don't fall short of the grace that is freely yours by hanging on to anger and resentment. Because that's going to cause bitterness. That it's like a weed. It causes it to grow up and it causes it to cause trouble in our lives. And the trouble causes even the good things in our lives to spoil and be polluted and corrupted, y'all. I see it in my child's life because I hanged on to bitterness when I would have to go to court with my significant other and fight for custody battle that I was causing through my resentment and my anger, bitterness to creep up, and it polluted my child. It corrupted my child. It spoiled my child. I'm a living witness. Let's move on. The next one is fear. Some of us are driven by fear. A lot of us are driven by fear, good and bad. Fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous and likely to cause pain or threat. Wow. Wow. How many of us live in fear? See, this is trauma. This is trauma at its finest. Trauma is our negative experiences that have created an illusion, ever pending doom. Based on a person, a place, or a thing again. And what this does is it enables us from moving forward in areas of our life. We never grow, we never progress, and we never mature. Never. Now, my daughter is a victim of human sex trafficking. I say victim because at 14, she was raped at a party that she shouldn't have been at while visiting her father, which perpetuated anger and resentment in me. And as a result of that trauma, it led her into a lifestyle of feeding now that curse, that desire of sexual sin, of wanting to or having a craving to do things to have instant gratification. If I sleep here, I sleep there, I gain money, I gain items, I gain things, right? But it was really because of trauma. It was really because of a breakdown now in the mind at the age of 14. It was really now being allowed to be manipulated by men and then fear being injected that they would hurt your family. This was a thing that we still struggle with. That every pimp that she endured would threaten her that they knew where we lived. And if she didn't work for them, if she didn't make a quota, if she didn't do what she was being told to do, that they would come and harm her family and she would have no one to run to. And this has went on for years. I think we're in our 8th year of this. She's now an adult. So by all means, she makes her own decisions. But I still consider her a victim. Of her own choice, of her own inflicted wounds, but it's coupled with trauma. So I have so much empathy for my daughter, and I answer the phone when she calls, and I don't judge her. I love her where she is. I don't question her, and I don't beat her over the head about her choices and her decisions. I love her where she is, and I'll continue to doing that for the longevity of whatever this is because I've given it to God, not my will, but His will. The word of God says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, y'all. We don't have to fear. We choose to fear because God has given us power over fear. God has given us love, and the word of God says love casts out all fear, and a sound mind, clarity to know that this fear is not actually what it's making itself up to be. It's a smoke and mirror. It's like being in the night and there's a reflection or there's a light. And so a shadow becomes bigger than really what it is. And if we really can see with clarity and get up on the situation that seems bigger than us, we'd really see it for what it is. Nothing in the eyes of God, nothing in the power of God. The word of God says in John 14:8, there is no fear in love. So what is love to you? Because there's no fear in love. So if you're in situations or relationships, there's circumstances where there's this idea of love, but you're fearful, then it's not love. Because the word of God says there's no fear in love. So if you're fearing him, if you're fearing her, that's not love, boo. That's not love. But perfect, Perfect in the Greek is mature. Mature love drives out all fear. That's that real love. That moves from puppy love to real matured, cultivated love. The ins and the outs and the work that you put into truly loving your significant other. Love drives out all fear because fear has to with punishment. See, fear is all about punishment, but love is all about peace and release of that. No one fears if they know the word of God. No one fears if they operate in love, mature love, true love. Ask God to show you what true love looks like. Who's loving you today? I'll ask you that again. Who's loving you today? Who's honoring you today? Who's pouring into you today? You know, something that I do a lot in the Spiritual Growth Academy, as I cultivate the community, I speak to these women every day. I have about 18 students in the academy, and every day there's activity. Every day there's conversation sparked. Every day there's videos. We even have a chat room where we do video communication. I'll do a video sparking a conversation, and the requirement is that you do a video in response, not written, a video. I want to see your face. I want to honor you. I want to see how you look today. I want to see your emotion. I want to see the status of where you are, because I want to encourage and honor you. And I want to tell you how beautiful you are. I want you to know that I want to see you every day, and that I want to pour into you every day, that I want to see you for who you are and not hiding behind a text, but I want you to be exposed so that you know that you're worthy to be seen, that you're worthy to be talked to, that you're worthy to have interest in. Who's loving you today? And I always tell these women I love them, because I love them with the love of Christ. So that if nobody is loving them today, I'll make sure that every day they know that they are loved. Who's loving you today? And we're running up on time, and I'm almost there. The second to last one is materialism. Materialism is a tendency to consider material possessions and physical comfort as more important than spiritual values. Wow. What are you chasing after? When we chase after things of this world, when we chase after the cars and the houses and the monies and the likes and the followings, I call them the tangible things, the things that we can touch, the things that we can see, we fall under this misconception of having more will bring happiness. I'm guilty. Having more will bring security of true peace. I'm guilty. If I have more, then I'm going to be okay. This false misconception is basically a partnership with the spirit called mammon. I had to look that up, because I got to a point in my walk with God where I wanted to know what I was fighting against. Because if I knew what I was fighting against, if I knew about the opponent, then I could prepare myself to counteract. We see it in sports. They will watch their opponent. They will watch their team. They will watch the plays, and they will create a defense, right? Based on the characteristics and the habits, right? The sequences of the plays of the opponent. We see it in the Word of God. Psalm 64 says that they study us. The evil, the dark ones, the enemies, the devil, our enemies in the flesh, they study us. So that when they attack, the attack is effective. When they attack, the attack is strategic. So are you studying your hardship? Are you studying your bad behavior? Are you studying your unhealthy habits? Are you seeing what triggers you to make that wrong decision? Are you seeing what triggers you to respond in a different way, in an unhealthy way? Materialisms. And so this spirit called mammon he operates in greed and the pursuit of gain. Like, it's never enough. I gotta have more. I mean, come on. Even in the pandemic, we saw mammon taking place in the toilet paper. They ransack everything through the spirit of mammon, that if I got what I need, then me and my family is cool. We see this all the time. This demographic of people, which I was one of, we either grew up in poverty and we were fearful of going back. Like me, I was like, I'm never going back to San Bernardino, California, the poorest most disgusting city in my mind. I get nauseous even going into the city, getting close to the city. I will remember having my family is still in Southern California, and I would drive back from Northern California, and I would get so nauseated of having to go back to places that would trigger all of the disrupt in my life that I had worked so hard to get through. I had to work through even that so that it wouldn't be a trigger. I had to work through the spirit of mammon seeming to have power over me, fear and anxiety, right? Because I had this fear of if I go back there, I'm going back to poverty. If I go back there, I'm going to have not having enough. If I go back there, I'm going back to struggle. And then there's the other side of us who have always had. So we got to keep having. We need more. It's never enough. Maybe we grew up with wealth. Maybe we grew up, like they say, with a silver spoon in our mouths. So it's in our nature. It's in our DNA because of the example that was set to continue to chase after the more. The word of God says in Matthew 6:20, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Listen, it's about legacy. It's about the white throne judgment. It's about going before God and him saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into my peace, into my rest, because you've done such a great job. It's about him coming back and showing what you did with the talents that he's given you. It's about increasing the talents and the gifts and capitalizing on what he's given you to do for the kingdom. And in return of you running and going hard for the kingdom of God, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. And they're going to be healthy desires of your heart. And they're going to manifest in the earth and they're going to be tangible. And you're going to experience what it is to have quality of life. I'm out of time, but I'm going to do this last one. Validation. I suffered from this. Validation is the action of checking or proving the validity of something. We see this all day long in the churches. We're looking for the pastor to validate us. We're looking for the man to validate us. We're looking for the woman to validate us. If they give us a title, we're validated. If we get that promotion, we're validated. If we get that job, we're validated. If he says, I love you, we're validated. If he says, I'm cute, we're validated. But if none of that happens, come on, what does that look like? When we seek validation from others, we're striving. Striving means to do something in your own strength. It means to go against the grind. It means to break a sweat on your brow. We're striving for the approval of others. How many of us have strived for the approval of our mothers, of our fathers who have rejected us because we seemingly weren't good enough? Or maybe you were like me, you reminded your mother of your father because you looked just like him. How many of us have struggled to get approval from someone who had to raise you but didn't want to? Come on, I'm testifying. That rejection you had to feel because you were a burden. You were an extra cost. How many of us have struggled for that validation and approval and our worth and our worthiness was in that approval or disapproval? So if we weren't given that worthiness or that worth, we felt less than. I'm feeling that today. I'm going to be real and transparent. My husband broke me down in Walmart yesterday. And it caused me to feel unworthy because I felt rejected. And I didn't feel accepted. And then I felt misunderstood. And it affected my self-worth. I felt like I wasn't worthy enough of him that he would speak against me or he would think ill against me when all that I try to be is a good example. And while while I know it's an attack of the enemy, while I know that I'm doing all that I can for the kingdom of God to the best of my ability and the enemy has to attack strategically, I know it, but it still hurt. It's still an experience. But when I come back to myself and I remember who my God is and I remember what my purpose is, I remember that my worth is not in what somebody says about me. My worth is not tied up in who doesn't do for me. My worth is not tied up in when somebody behaves poorly against me. I have to remember whose I am and who I am and the authority and the power that I walk in based on my father who gave the ultimate sacrifice. That's who validates me. We look to be called on, right? We want to be called on. You remember Red Rover sent so-and-so on over? and you wanted to be called on that particular team, but you were the one who was last to get called, so you just had to go? And so nobody would ever throw you the ball. Nobody ever would ever call out your name. Yeah, that's you. That's me. I know. We look for that position, right? We look for that position to validate us. And if we don't get it, we're defeated. We feel less than. We feel like a failure. We feel inadequate. We feel unsuccessful. So we begin to strive to do more, to be more, to get more education. We got a bachelor's, we got an associate's, we need a master's, we need a PhD, and still have nothing to show for it. We've accomplished it, but nothing to show for it. Last scripture, and I'm going to let you go. The word of God says, Psalms 37 and 6, hell, God, the Father, will validate your life in the clear light of day and stamp you with approval. He will validate you in the day, meaning that he will let everybody see that you are his. He will allow all of your enemies to see who you belong to and how he blesses you and how he's going to bless you. We saw it with Jesus. And when he was baptized by John and he came up out the water, the Spirit of God descended on him, the Holy Spirit like a dove. And God opened up heaven and said, "This is my son who I am well pleased." He did that in front of everybody so they knew who he was. So they knew he was validated by the only one who could validate. I'm done. We're going to follow up. The second half of this is going to be looking at a couple of key things. How to counteract our false perspectives of the things we talked about tonight. Knowing your purpose and how it changes your perspective in life. Knowing your purpose and how it brings clarity. Knowing your purpose and how it allows focus and consistent practice of the things of God. Knowing your purpose and how it motivates. And last, knowing your purpose and how it helps you to create legacy. I pray that this has blessed you as much as it blessed me. I ask that you share this with a friend. Share this, y'all. This is the word of God. We need to get this out to as many people as we can. I am on this podcast. I have invested in myself in this podcast so that I could reach the nations. I don't just want to reach a small few. I want everybody to get a hold of the word of God. And that takes simply you clicking the share button and sharing it on your Facebook page. You clicking the share button and putting it on Instagram. Not for me, not for likes, but so someone else can get this word. Somebody is struggling with one of those situations and they want to know that it's better. Someone is struggling with those situations and want to get connected to the Spiritual Growth Academy. Someone is struggling with those situations and want to schedule a one-on-one with me so we can walk through it. I'm here to help build the kingdom, and it only happens by helping you get better. Come on. I love you all. I hope it blessed you. Until next time, I love you. Bye now.